He felt around by moving his fingers around inside for a few minutes. He said that this was part of an STD test. He didn't use a speculum or any other medical tools. He then stuck the swab into me and smiled. He then put it in a vial and said that we were done. At the time, he made me feel extremely uncomfortable and violated.
That's Daniela Moazzab, a master's student at the University of Southern California. At a press conference on May 22nd, Moazzab recounted a 2016 visit to Dr. George Tyndall, a former USC gynecologist. She's one of more than 20 women to file suit against Tyndall and USC for Tyndall's alleged misconduct during his nearly three-decade-long tenure with the university.
I am still in shock that USC had heard about Dr. Tyndall's inappropriate conduct and had allowed him to continue practicing. Reportedly, USC was aware of Dr. Tyndall's inappropriate conduct before I was even born.
In addition to the lawsuits, the Los Angeles Police Department is investigating more than 50 claims of misconduct by Dr. Tyndall. Tyndall quietly resigned last summer in a secret deal with a financial payment from USC, and an investigation by the LA Times discovered that USC officials knew about allegations against Tyndall for nearly 30 years, but allowed him to continue seeing patients anyway. Harriet Ryan is an investigative reporter for the LA Times, and she's one of the journalists who broke the story. Harriet, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So bring us up to speed here. Tell us a little bit more about the allegations against George Tyndall.
Well, as you mentioned, they go back three decades. He worked at the university for 27 years. During that time, he was the sole full-time gynecologist at the student health clinic. And starting in the early 90s, there were allegations against Dr. Tyndall. Some of the staff members that worked at the clinic with him complained that he was taking pictures of patients' genitals in the 1990s. There were other allegations over the years about improper touching during pelvic exams and making suggestive and sometimes lewd comments about women's bodies, sometimes when his fingers were inside them.
What did the university know about Tyndall, and when did they know it?
The current leaders of the university say that they didn't understand the full scope of the problem until the last couple of years. However, it's pretty clear that students and staff were going to administrators at the clinic, supervisors at the clinic, starting in the early 90s. The university has said that the executive director of the clinic, who died 2 years ago, handled many of these complaints independently. And when they went back into his files, they said they found complaints, many complaints, that in their current view would have required Dr. Tyndall to leave the clinic or no longer see patients. They say they can't understand why the executive director did not take action at the time.
Okay, I have to stop there because, you know, a day, 2 days, 3 days, a handful of experiences, nearly 30 years of this happening, and no one outside of this administrator knew that this was happening at the university.
There are definitely allegations from women who say, no, I took this hire. I went to the Women's Center on campus. One woman that we interviewed said that she actually received a letter from USC apologizing for Dr. Tyndall's treatment of her and saying that, you know, they were going to go back into her medical file and make some changes with comments that he'd written. But, you know, 27 years is a long time. A lot of the people that worked with him are no longer working at USC at all. Many of them are dead. And it's really hard to reconstruct who told what, when, and why it wasn't taken more seriously.
Well, I mean, this strikes me as almost, and in our introduction, we said that there was a payment at Tyndall's resignation, quiet resignation last summer. Is this a culture of complicity in the university? Because we see stories like this happening time and time again of abuses that have lasted decades.
The university started a very serious investigation of Tyndall in June of 2016, and pretty quickly they determined that there was validity to the complaints against him. And they ultimately found that he had performed inappropriate pelvic exams because of the use of his fingers, and that he, in essence, sexually harassed students. At this point, they wanted him out of the university, and they did like a secret deal whereby he got some kind of financial payment, and he was allowed to resign. They've said that at that time they should have reported him to the state medical board, and they didn't. after we started reporting our story this spring, they actually made a retroactive report to the state medical board about him. It does seem like it was important to them that this be handled quietly, that not a lot of people find out. The actual terms of the settlement are still secret. So complicity, I don't know, but there was definitely an emphasis on taking care of this quickly and quietly. And there wasn't focus on going back to the potentially tens of thousands of women who had seen him over the decades and saying, hey, what happened to you? Did anything strange happen at your appointment? Did you complain to anybody? And they're doing that now. And that's why, more than 400 women have come forward to USC now and said, like, look, I want to talk about what happened at my appointment, whether it was in 1992 or, 2 years ago.
And for our listeners just catching up, we're talking about 50 claims of misconduct against the USC former school gynecologist with Harriet Ryan, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Harriet, let's talk repercussions. There's been a lot of fallout from this, including the news that USC President Max Nikias has stepped down. Tell us about it.
There was intense pressure on the president after the revelations about Dr. Tyndall. And initially, the Board of Trustees said they were completely behind the president and they wanted him to try to fix the problem and examine what had gone wrong with Dr. Tyndall. But students started a petition to have the president resign. And then hundreds of faculty said they lost confidence in him and that he did not have the moral integrity to lead. So he stepped down. There's going to be a new president. And there's an outside investigation into how the school handled this and who knew what and whether people did the right thing at the time.
And what's next for the university and for the victims?
More than 20 women have filed lawsuits against USC for negligence in how they responded to Dr. Tyndall. And we expect that there'll be hundreds more women joining those lawsuits. In addition, as you mentioned, there's an LAPD investigation, a criminal probe that is looking at Dr. Tyndall's conduct and whether it amounts to sexual abuse or another crime. And the police have said that if they come across evidence that administrators at USC engaged in criminal behavior in how they handled him, they'll be addressing that as well.
Harriet Ryan is an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Harriet, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.